Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And today I'm excited to bring you another success story, another Lyme conqueror who had the resilience and the tenacity to just fight through this battle that truly is like living a nightmare. And I'm excited to have her because we had the opportunity to chat for a little while a couple of weeks ago, and we're so much alike in our values and thoughts and kind of mission from this journey. It just aligns so well with each other. And so I'm excited for you listeners to be able to hear how my guest took her journey and turned it into a passion and a mission and what she's doing with that now, because I think it's absolutely incredible. So stay tuned to hear all the details on that. So today my guest is Amy Goodwin. And Amy, thank you so much for joining me. It's nice to meet you. And I just appreciate you joining me and being vulnerable and sharing all the stuff that isn't always fun to talk about.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. This is my jam, right? This is what we do.
That's right. I love that. This is our jam. It for sure is. You know, we go through many, many years of battling Lyme. And then oftentimes people are like, why do you still eat, breathe, sleep Lyme disease? Right? Because it really puts this, it's our jam. Yeah. And it just really puts this kind of fire, at least with me in my body, to just, this isn't okay. Nothing about this illness is okay. And we've got to help people. We've got to help shed light on it. We've got to spread awareness about it. We have to talk about ways that people can treat, because oftentimes they think it's going to cost you $1 million, like it cost me to get well, right? And people think, oh, I have to be, you know, one of these famous people that talk about getting Lyme disease in order to get well. And it's simply not true. But we do absolutely have to be our own advocate, go with our gut, go with our heart, and resonate with the practitioners that we choose to help us.
Yeah. And I think talking about it too, one of the worst things Lyme does to somebody's life is make them feel really isolated. And I mean, I know that I experienced that. My doctor even asked me my first appointment with him, you know, do you know anybody else with Lyme disease? And at the time I said, no. And probably one of the most prophetic things he ever said to me was, well, by the time this is done, you're going to know a lot of people with Lyme disease. And I now literally know hundreds and hundreds of people with Lyme disease. But I didn't when I was suffering. I didn't know anyone else suffering like I was. I didn't know anybody like me. And that is, you know, Lyme itself is so devastating. And when you're suffering that way, not thinking there's anyone else out there like you, or knowing that there's other people out there suffering in such a way, it just adds to that isolation, adds to the pain, it adds to that suffering. And so, you know, I learned that early in my journey, you know, sitting in a support group that I had helped form. And I was sitting there watching the connections being made would be amongst people who were strangers, you know, 5 minutes before. And what I realized is that these people were friends. They understood each other without saying a word. They didn't have to make excuses for each other. They didn't have to explain themselves to each other. They had an empathy that was understood between Lyme sufferers. And that's unique amongst Lyme. So to be here telling our stories is going to just empower others and take out that isolation. And that's something that we can do to help others.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it any better than that. And yes, it is absolutely an isolating disease. And I was one of the lucky ones that had the most amazing support system, but it didn't matter. You still felt alone. And this Lyme community is like nothing else I've ever known about. Just like you said, we don't have to say a word. We just know. And it just kind of ties into that, you know, tagline, you don't get it till you get it. And mm-hmm. and it's just true. And it's a beautiful community out there. And yeah, you know, maybe that's why you and I are so much alike in this being our jam, is because we didn't know anybody that had Lyme. I, most of the listeners know, I thought Lyme disease was something only dogs got. Like, that was how uneducated I was. And so I didn't have anybody to support me in that type of capacity. And so to be able to have, you know, a podcast like this that I could have leaned on when I was sick, oh my gosh. Like, so that's why we do what we do, right?
Yeah, it's a big part of it. I think when you go through something hard, like we have gone through, and when you see how dark it can be and how hard it is, the struggle is, at least for me, you know, it was too so hard for me to just walk away from that. And many people do, because it is such a hard struggle. And I get that. Like, you want to just go on with your life and never think about it again. Like, I 100% resonate with that. And there are times when I have taken breaks and I have stepped away because I just needed a break, you know, but I can't ever just walk away, because I feel like I know a way out, and how could I not turn around and help other people get out too?
Amazing. You're amazing. I appreciate you for all you do.
Well, I appreciate you for all you do.
Thank you. All right. Well, let's dive right into this, Amy. Where does your journey start? Were you just randomly sick? Did you get a bite? Your story. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, well, I guess my story started, I was, a pretty healthy person. I was about a year out from having my last child. And so I was in that mode of just trying to get back in shape. So I was going to the gym 4 days a week. I was feeling really healthy, really strong, kind of just on top of the world. One night at the gym, I felt a little bit of a tremor in that muscle on the side of your leg between my knee and my ankle. And it was annoying enough and strong enough that I had to get off of the elliptical or the treadmill that I was walking on and kind of walk it off. Like, as an athlete in high school, I've pulled muscles before, I've had injuries. It didn't really feel like an injury. It didn't really feel like a pulled muscle. It was a very strange sensation. And so I kind of just walked it off in the gym. And later that evening, I was at home, I had this kind of a tingly sensation in my foot. And from there, things progressed quite quickly. I developed that tingly, crawly sensation in both of my feet. That feeling eventually spread up my legs and throughout my whole body. No doctor, no medication in 5 years could touch that symptom. It was a horribly annoying symptom. I tell people it was like sitting on something that was idling, like a four-wheeler or a motorcycle. I felt like my whole body was vibrating. Following that vibration was pain. I had horrible nerve pain. I had terrible joint pain. I had severe exhaustion. And very quickly, my life was that healthy, happy life was taken over by pain and exhaustion, and life became a game of tolerance. And, you know, I had four young kids and four young boys and, you know, had a lot of energy. And I had to cancel my gym membership in about 3 months' time. I'm a pretty stubborn person, and I'm very much a power through person, and very quickly realized this was not something I could power through. This wasn't something I was going to be able to push through. And so I started the doctor's appointments, and nobody, you know, could help me. Nobody could give me any answers. I was tested for a lot of things, you know, the normal neurological parade of MS, Lou Gehrig's disease, you know, all of those things, the scary labels, everything kept coming back normal, and everything was normal. Pretty soon I was being told that it was all in my head, that there was nothing wrong with me, that I was depressed or I was anxious.
You're a mom of four boys. Yep, you're exactly. Overworked. You're overstressed.
Yep. And ended in pain management, where they managed my pain, which was horrific. And I lived on pain medicine for 5 years. They gave me a diagnosis of fibromyalgia. So that was my misdiagnosis. And periodically throughout the years, I would go to like another neurologist or some doctor that I'd heard of that might be able to help me. But nobody really ever could. So, and that was my existence for quite a while. It was pretty hard. And And life was a standstill for me. It was really just a tolerance of keep trying to handle daily life, you know. And, you know, even the little tasks with kids were hard. Their toys banging together were hard. The light hurt me, hurt my eyes. Noise hurt me. My nervous system was so overfired. Yeah, life was really difficult. My journey changed. One day, my mom, and I've been on this planet too long to chalk anything up to coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence anymore, but
me either.
Yeah. My mom was a nurse. She was a nurse for many years, a wonderful nurse. She was on her way to work one day and she was listening to a radio station during May, Lyme Awareness Month. And there was a doctor in Minnesota who was a retired doctor, but she was out. She worked with Lyme Awareness. She worked with Minnesota Lyme, and she was out raising awareness for Under Our Skin. That was when the documentary was fairly new. And my mom heard her on the radio, and she heard her advocating, and she called me when she got to work, and she said, Amy, she was all excited, even almost breathless. And she said, Amy, you got to look into this. You have to check this out. And I said, I wasn't really that excited because, you know, I'd seen so many doctors. I'd followed so many things that led nowhere. I tried every supplement in the world. You know, everybody knows how it is. You do everything.
You know, try everything. Even though we don't want this fibromyalgia diagnosis, right, because we don't really believe it. And a lot of people can live their lives semi-normal, but we know that we're not. Mm-hmm. When people throw new things at, we're so done.
Yeah.
We're so done going down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. Just get medical fatigue, honestly. But my mom said something at the end of that phone call, and she said, Amy, she said, these are your people. And then she hung up the phone. I don't know why I'm getting emotional. But
wow. No. And this is amazing because it just so happens to be May, right? Yeah. And we oftentimes, you know, we share our voice constantly, nonstop. I swear some of my people, my friends on Facebook are like, oh my gosh, it's Tanya again trying to tell somebody that they have Lyme disease. Yeah. I don't care, you know, but this right here is solid proof that by us sharing our voices and being able to be more boisterous during our month of May, right, for Lyme Disease Awareness Month, it's working. It's making an impact. Your mom happened to hear that, and here we are.
Yeah, it absolutely changed the course of my life. I did get on the computer because I didn't know anyone else like me. Those words got me to the computer because I didn't know anyone like me. And
did you know anything about Lyme disease?
I didn't know anything about Lyme disease. And so I went to the computer, typed in Under Our Skin, you know, whatever it was. And I spent the next several hours just staring at the computer, just absorbed in people's stories, in Lyme literature, doctors, interviews. I knew that I had Lyme. I knew it. I could have been those people. I could have been in this documentary. I could have been talking about these exact symptoms. I called my husband at work and I was like, I have Lyme disease. I know what's wrong with me. I have Lyme disease. He was like, okay, what happened in your case?
Where did that come from?
And, you know, I was naive at the time and just all I have to do is go to the doctor. I'm just going to get diagnosed with Lyme and I'm going to get better. And, you know, that's where I met my first resistance. I went into the doctor. They told me I was being foolish. There was no such thing as chronic Lyme. And they made me sign a paper saying that I would pay for the test if my insurance refused to pay for. I was like, I don't care. You know, I had to fight for even that first test. And then it came back negative. And, you know, I didn't know enough about Lyme at the time to pursue. And so it was about a year of that, trying to get where I needed to go before my husband was like, no, we're going where we need to go. Find a doctor that knows what they're doing, and we're going there. And so I ended up finding Dr. Harris in California. And he saved my life. I have no qualms about saying that. By the time I went to see him, I was dragging a leg when I walked. I was in so much pain, I could barely function. I'm a singer and I couldn't sing anymore. I was losing the ability to control the muscles even in my throat. He's quite humble about that and says, oh, you know, your body just responded really well to what we were doing. But he saved my life. And I have no doubt about that. I don't think I'd be here today without him. So, it just somebody out talking about Lyme, doing what we're doing now, saved my life. And that's why I'm super passionate about this kind of stuff. I do spend a lot of time doing awareness work for Lyme. And I just, this kind of the grassroots of Lyme, I think, is where we really, really make effect here.
Yes. Wow. Yes. And I do, I've had, I know a lot of people that have been treated by Dr. Harris, and isn't he now part of the Gordon Medical Center?
Yeah.
Kind of did emerge like about a year ago, and they're down in the kind of North Bay.
Yeah.
He did.
And he actually trained our doctor here. So when we opened up New Hope, we sent him right to Dr. Harris, because I wanted him to have that knowledge and I wanted him to have those, you know, that resource as well. So Dr. Dick has been really good to us here at New Hope as well.
Awesome. So what was it? I mean, so we're frustrated, right? We go through these 5 years of all these symptoms, and you have fibromyalgia, you're overworked, you have four kids. Hello, that should say it all. And then you actually know in your heart, right, that you have Lyme disease, and it takes you a year to try to find somebody that believes you.
Yeah.
Did you, and so maybe actually before you decided you had Lyme disease, what was it like emotionally through this journey? Were you ever at a point where maybe you were crazy? Maybe you were losing it? I know that this journey takes such an emotional toll on us. And I think that's why a lot of us end up with PTSD, right? Because we were gaslit for so long. We were meant to, you know, feel that we were weak or crazy or just not able to manage our own daily lives, right? It's too overwhelming for us. So can you talk a little bit about that emotional side of it?
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a huge emotional side of it. And that's what I do with my clinic now here at New Hope. I am a life coach and an emotional resilience coach. And a huge part of what I do is the support to our patients here. And there's so much tied up into the emotional side of it for a lot of different reasons. One, because Lyme itself, the bacteria, we know breaks the blood-brain barrier. And so we know that causes emotional issues, right? It causes anxiety, it causes rage, it causes depression, it causes that exhaustion, it causes brain fog. So that aside, right, that's a lot by itself. But that aside, it causes the isolation we were talking about earlier. People lose the lives that they're familiar with. They lose friends, they lose coworkers, they lose family members, even people that don't understand them. They have doctors telling them they're crazy, sometimes spouses that are telling them they're crazy, or family that doesn't understand, children that certainly don't understand because they're just kids. I had a huge amount of shame for the things that I just couldn't accomplish. I had house cleaners that had to come clean my house, and I was a stay-at-home mom because I couldn't hold a broom. I couldn't push a vacuum. My hands hurt so bad I couldn't carry a gallon of milk. Like, there was a huge amount of shame for the things that I just couldn't do that I should have been able to do. And so, yeah, depression does settle in sometimes. And the sad thing that happens, and we speak to this a lot here, and we have a counselor here at New Hope too that works with us for this reason as well. But the sad thing is that most people in the Lyme journey somewhere along the way, and we're catching people sooner now, so there's not as much of this, but there's still a great deal of this, but they've been so gaslit, just like I was. I had a doctor tell me once that I was so depressed, I didn't even know I was depressed. And I'm like, is that a thing? Like, I feel like, I feel like if I was that depressed, I'd probably know that I was depressed, right? For me, I am so strong-willed, and I have a bit of a temper. And so that kind of stuff just made me so mad, because I just knew I wasn't being listened to. Like, you are not hearing me. You are not listening to me. I always knew that there was something in me that was attacking me, that this was not something that was wrong with my body. I can't explain how I knew that. I don't know how I knew that. I just instinctively knew that there was something attacking me. And so that was always my rhetoric, is that there is something attacking me. This is not my body malfunctioning. There is not something wrong with me. But it is so, the thing that happens when we have that, those doctors telling us those things and being gaslit like that, is that when we do get to that point where we do need help, when the road does get long, when the treatment is hard, when our bodies are tired, when our minds are tired, when our friends don't understand, when our families don't understand, when we feel alone, we won't ask for help because, gosh dang it, those doctors cannot be right. I can't be crazy. I can't be depressed. I can't be anxious. I can't be those things because I just have to be sick so somebody will help me. Yeah. And that's the problem that we see. And that's why we lose people in line, because they won't ask for help because they've been told they were crazy for so long that if they admit that they need help, those people are right.
Right.
So that's where fighting is.
Yeah. And oftentimes we might want help, right? But we don't know what we want. We don't know what we need, mm-hmm. because it's just a whole new thing for us. Yeah. Okay. Well, I definitely, after hearing a little bit, I really want you to kind of dive in what you do at your clinic as far as the therapeutical side of it, the emotional side of it, because I think it's a huge, huge piece that many people miss in their healing journey. So we'll save a little bit of that for a little bit later. So what did your treatment protocol look like with Dr. Harris?
So I treated Lyme so many years ago, so that's going to age me a little bit. But when I treated with Dr. Harris, we really didn't have like some of the great treatments that we have now. And yeah. I didn't have really a lot of options. Dr. Harris was kind of one of those groundbreaking doctors that was really getting into what is working well for treating Lyme. And so I was on like a million different antibiotics because we were trying to figure out what was working best for me, what antibiotics was going well for me. So I did herbal treatments and antibiotic treatments, and I ended up on IV therapy, IV antibiotic therapy, because my stomach really wasn't handling it. So for the last, I think like 8 months of my treatment, I was doing IV therapy. And that was rigorous. And so I started with herbals. He started me out with everything with herbals just to prepare my body. And then we continued some of that for support through the way, but it was largely antibiotic treatment for me. And I was one of the lucky ones. I responded to that, thank goodness. And, it worked for me, and I haven't ever had a relapse. I think I'm going on 13 or 14 years now of
wow.
No Lyme symptoms. Yeah.
Yay. So. That's amazing. So that's interesting that you say that, because I think, you know, we all have our own opinions, right? That's the beautiful mm-hmm. thing of this world. We can. And then the other thing too, is that these doctors have their own opinions and based on their own experiences of how they treat their patients. And
well, and yeah, and I'll just say that like our opinions are, and I say this all the time, our opinions are based off our beliefs are based off of our experience. So
right.
You know, and there's a lot of people out there, and I can see to that, like, and I've seen people go through our clinic that way, who there are people who don't respond to antibiotics. I was one of the lucky ones, and I did. And yes. It was hard and it was rigorous. I stuck through it because I knew that whatever I was dealing with was killing me. I knew Lyme was killing me. At that point, I knew it was Lyme. Before then, I didn't really know what it was. But at that point, I knew it was Lyme, and I knew it was killing me.
So either let the Lyme kill me or the antibiotics kill me, right?
That was my attitude at the time. Like, I was like, I'm either going to die from this disease or I will die from the treatment. One or the other, right? And at the time, right? But now, you know, I feel like we have so many other treatment options too. There's so many other things we can do now. Like, we're doing methane blue. We're doing disulfiram. We have a naturopathic doctor here. We have SOT therapy, which is super exciting. Like, there's a lot of options now for Lyme treatment that I didn't have when yes. I was treating for Lyme, and that's exciting.
Well.
And that speaks for all the hard work that all these doctors and all the advocators and people like us, that speaks for the pushing, the legislation, everything that we're doing, even though it feels so minute and so small some days, we are getting places.
It does. And I'm glad that you said that, because it does to those that are still sick, right? To those that can't get a doctor to believe them. I can honestly tell you things are so much different and better now than they were 10 years ago, even yes. though we have a long, long ways to go. And yes. like you, there's all these new therapies that were not a thing when I was treating. And so yeah. people will ask me about it. I'm like, I don't know. I didn't know anything about it.
Yeah. Everybody's like, did you do SOT when you were treating? I'm like, I would have. if I, but I yeah. didn't have the option. That wasn't yeah. option for me.
Was not even talked about. Yeah, exactly. So, so antibiotics worked for you, which is fantastic. And I have nothing against antibiotics. If we get a fresh bite, right? A new infection, 1,000,000%, 6 to 8 weeks is I think a minimum in that. But I love that when these doctors are incorporating a lot of herbals into these protocols as well, because I think that I say loosely, you know, we want to throw the kitchen sink at it, you know, because sometimes it takes a lot of different things. But then again, I think that some people, I'm not even sure what the right word is, but I guess what I want to say is that when you pick a treatment protocol that you want to do, you need to give it some time to work, right? So I say 3-4 months, let's see if the needle moves. If you go in and a month later, you're like, well, what about this treatment? Or what about this treatment? No, you can't. You have to be so, you know, hyper-focused on what you're doing. This is going to work. This is going to be my ticket. And then reevaluate it, you know, several months down the road. And if the needle isn't moving, then this isn't your ticket, but you're going to find the next one. You have to be in it, right? Mindset is so huge when we're going through this journey. So do you recall any of, and if you don't, that's fine, because it sounds like it's been a while ago. Do you recall any of some of the herbals maybe that were kind of a game changer for you and or any type of detoxing protocols that you did?
No, I do not. I do not remember a single herb that I was on, honestly. I could tell you the antibiotics I was on, but I don't remember a single herb that I was on. I mean, he had me doing Epsom salt baths daily, and that was something we still have people do that in our regimen here. Epsom salt baths, I think, are wonderful for many reasons, because you get like that. You get like the relaxing effect from the magnesium as well. Plus you're pulling that out, but glutathione is a huge thing. We really push glutathione for detox now for people. That IV glutathione is the most powerful thing, I think. And you can do a lot of things for detox. And if you find yourself, this is our advice to our patients. So you can do all your detox stuff, do your Epsom salt baths, do your water, do your whatever, your charcoal, all the stuff. And if you're not getting there, then come in and try some of the IV glutathione. And if that's right, because if you're not getting there, your body needs more of an assist. And so that there's nothing like giving that IV glutathione and really getting a good flush. So we have people who are having really hard time with detox who will come in and get that IV glutathione once a week, and they just to stay on top of that. And it does a world of difference. So staying on top of that detox regimen is one of the best things you can do when you're going through that. That was a big challenge for me when I was going through my treatment. Dr. Harris, they had me do some sort of a mud bath, and I can't remember. I ordered it from like France. I don't remember what it was called, but that was something I did, as I sat in a mud bath for detox. So I did that, and I did.
Was it like a bentonite clay or an actual kind of
mud? It wasn't a bentonite clay, but it was some kind of it came in big tubes, and I plopped it in my tub and sat in it.
The things we do, right?
I know
the things we do.
So yeah. But yeah.
But no, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I do. I oftentimes think that detoxing can be more important than actually killing the pathogen. We've got to support 100%. Our body. And yeah. Some people don't understand that. And I get it, right? We get a diagnosis. Finally, we're going to kill this. We just want to kill, 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 kill. But if you overkill, you're not supporting your detox pathways. I can honestly say you're going to take so many steps backwards, right? Like,
well, it's hard for a lot of reasons, because number one, you aren't going to feel any of the results, because you're going to be in such a wrestling match with your body, because your symptoms are going to feel 100 times worse. You're going to feel exhausted. You're going to feel weighed down, because that's what happens when we get over with toxins and we get overloaded. And you're going to be mentally frustrated. Like, it's just a huge, like, you know what I mean? And so then on top of that, you're still sick, right? So you still have your symptoms. So staying on top of that, keeping yourself, your mind as clear as you can, helping with the brain fog and trying to keep that out, trying to keep as much pain under control as you can. Like, those are little things. Like I always say, there's some things you can't control in Lyme treatment. Like, you cannot control, and this goes back to the mindset you were talking about. You cannot control the fact that you have Lyme disease, so you can't control that. You can't control how much pain you're in, really. You can't control, you know, the things in life that are happening because you have Lyme disease, but there's some things you can control. And what you can can control is your detox regimen. You can control how much you're trying to rest. You can control how well you're taking care of your mental health. You can control how much water you're drinking. You can control how many Epsom salt baths you're taking. You can control how well you take care of your keeping in touch with your doctor. Like, all of these little things that you can control are going to do a few things. They're going to give you the control that you are looking for, because there's so many things out of control in your life right now. So control what you can. Control all of the detox. Control the rest. Control the food you put in your body. Control keeping in touch with your body or your doctor. Control keeping in touch with your team so they know what they're doing. And keep all of those little things in check so that you keep moving forward instead of letting all of that stuff go to the wayside and just falling backwards and having everything just pile up on you. You're still sick and everything else is piling up and you're just feeling in a worse situation. No, there's things you can't control. Let go of those things and let them be what they are, but control what you can. And detox is a big part of what you can control.
Yeah, no, that's perfect, because it is, you know, and there's a lot of things out there that we can do at home that are free, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Well, besides the cost of a lemon, right? Like lemon water, meditation, breathing, grounding, baths, you know, all the things that we simply can do at home that truly, really support our bodies. And yeah. And they're affordable, right? Because they're free. Yeah. So we've got to utilize all the tools that are out there. And detox is just so, so important. And I want to kind of touch back on the fact that you mentioned glutathione, because that is like our master antioxidant, right? Like our master detoxifier. We've got to have this in our body. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the hardest things to supplement because of the half-life of it. So obviously, I think the best form of anything, right, is going to be an IV.
Yeah. And we have patients do both for sure. So sorry. I've got like a tickle in my nose here. We have yep. patients do both IV and pill form, but for many and most, I will say IV is far superior. Then they will try the pill form and they just aren't getting there and aren't getting there. They'll come in and do the IV and it's far and they are back like the next week. They're like, oh, that was better. That was better. Yes. And they'll call and they'll be like, oh, my brain fog is terrible. My pain is worse. My inflammation's out of control. And be like, get in here. Come on in. Let's do a glutathione. Okay. And it's well worth the money. It's well worth the time to come in and just stay on top of it. And they learn that quickly. And it's so good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So back to kind of your, to wrap up your treatment part of it. So you treated with Dr. Harris. You were not living in California. You were flying back and forth. So how long did your journey with him last?
And it was just under 2 years.
About 2 years. Okay. And so that you would just kind of fly in for checkups, or did he do telemed, or?
I flew to see him every 3 months.
Okay. Every 3 months.
And I did telemedicine in between, I believe. I think I did telemedicine with like somebody in his office in between.
Okay. And did you also, do you happen to know, I know this is one thing that we don't always want to think about, but do you happen to recall approximately how much this treatment cost you over, let's just say not your journey, right? But maybe over the 2 years of actual treating it.
Well,
we don't like to think about it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's something I ever put an actual number to. But you know, I was on IV therapy that wasn't covered by insurance at the time.
Okay. So it was not covered by, okay. Cause I do know that some IV therapies, there are some doctors out there that it is covered from. And that's a lot of times why people want to jump on the antibiotics, right? Like see what mm-hmm. the insurance is going to cover first. So no, mm-hmm. I didn't even forewarn you. I was going to ask you that question. A lot of us don't even like to think about it, right?
Yeah. No, I don't think we've ever put an actual number to that, but it was several thousand dollars for sure.
Gotcha. And then one last question as far as your treatment went. What did you have a lot of herxing throughout this die-off?
Yeah, I had terrible herxes.
Can you kind of, because we're all different, right? All of our herxes are different things that make us feel better or different. Can you give us an example of what your personal herxes look like? And then what were some of the things that you did to try to alleviate that?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to be super helpful here, but so again, this was many years ago. And I think, and doctors were more free to be more helpful with some of that pain. I had very much neurological Lyme. My Lyme was very much in my nervous system. And every joint, I could feel the fascia of my muscles. I don't know if you guys, if you know what fascia, the fascia is like around every muscle.
Mm-hmm.
I had so much pain in my nerves. So when I herxed, I had extreme pain in my, that's what my herxing was. It was just extreme pain. And so anything more than that was just what I was already carrying. In pain management, I was on Vicodin. That was how I was managing my life. And so when I was herxing, you know, that was back in the day when you were allowed to have pain meds.
Yeah.
I needed pain meds to get through herxing. I needed it to survive. I was one of the very lucky ones who, once I was through my treatment, I didn't have any trouble with that. I never have had one since. I don't think, I mean, I've had a couple of surgeries where I've had a couple of them, but I often have thought, as I have seen, you know, doctors, our doctors here now who are so restricted as far as pain meds go, that, and this might not be a popular opinion, but I think it's inhumane to let people suffer the way that they do sometimes without help there. I don't know what I would have done without pain meds through some of that, because it was so powerful. But I did a lot of the regimen that Dr. Harris gave me for detox. I did all of that. I did several Epsom salt baths a day just to try to help relieve some of that. I did the clay I was talking about. He had me on a couple different herbs too, which I couldn't even tell you what they were. I don't remember. It's been so long. But that was a regimen I tried really hard. His big thing was to try to sweat it out through the skin, you know, so I did that too. And it was miserable. I had some really miserable herxes in the very beginning of my treatment. And then again, when we went to IV therapy, and we really started to hit it on a deeper level. And I talk about that in my book, Victory. It was very, I had a shifting moment with my herxing, because at first I really felt like, oh, this is terrible. This is killing me. I'm not going to beat this. This is too much. It's too hard. It was literally like every nerve in my body was just on fire once we started to hit it. But then I made that connection one night that, when I couldn't even lay in bed. I was hurting so bad. The cotton sheets of my bed hurt me. And so I was lying in my living room. We had what we called a love sack. I don't know if you remember what those are. It was like a huge, big, soft beanbag. And I was laying in that beanbag and tears were just running out of my eyes. I couldn't even cry, but I was just laying there in so much pain. And I had this, just a voice almost in my head said, "You're killing it. It's not killing you. You're killing it." And that was a turning point for me, because I realized, oh, it's not killing me. I'm killing it. And I literally said out loud, "You don't like it? Then get out." Then get out. And that really changed how I was fighting. It changed my mindset from that victim of like, I was the victim of like, this is killing me, I'm not going to survive this, to, oh, no, actually, I'm doing the beating. Oh, I'm killing you. Oh, you don't like it here? Oh, get out then, right? And that really shifted that thought process for me of herxing, is this herxing was horrible and this was terrible, but I'll do it because it means you're dying. And oh, yes. You're there too. You're there. And I know it now, and you can get out. And it really just shifted the whole fight for me from that point on. And every herx after that was a victory. Because I was like, yeah, you're dying. Get out.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at it. Don't look at it as a bad day. Look at it as a day that you're doing extra healing, right? You're doing extra healing. And just like what you just said, right? It's that flip in your mindset, right? Like, we have Lyme disease, but it doesn't have us.
Yes.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be who you are. Like,
yes. Don't let it define you.
You don't have
you.
To
it's
connect to this. Like, yep. That's something, yep. I coach on is we are not Lyme. I am Amy Goodwin. Lyme disease was something I dealt with. It was not who I was. And
a piece of your journey. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a piece of my journey. It's not who I am. And it's not anybody who walks to my office. I don't see them as a Lyme disease person. I see them as a person who's struggling with Lyme, and we're going to get that under control for them. And that's how that mindset can be really powerful. When we start to identify with our disease, that becomes a problem.
Absolutely. Yes. And then the other thing that you said, I wanted to point on, because we oftentimes, we don't know what we don't know, right? And you had mentioned that, you know, you were living on these pain meds and they got you through, and thank goodness you didn't have any type of withdrawals getting off of them. Mm-hmm. I too did. I mean, at one point I was on fentanyl, morphine, and Dilaudid all at the same time. Oh, and this is somebody that didn't take an aspirin for a headache. I just didn't take pills. Yeah. And so, you know, a lot of people hear me talk about, you know, I never did an antibiotic. I don't do pharmaceuticals. I don't take aspirin. I do all natural stuff. But this is just a reminder that oftentimes we have to do things that we don't really want to do. Right. Yeah. And if you're in a position that you maybe need some antidepressant support or some anxiety support, right? Like I did it all and it didn't kill me, right? I truly think it was a lot of the pieces that got me through the toughest parts of my journey. Mm-hmm. Had I do it over again, would I do it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But all I know is that don't beat yourself up in this journey. Give yourself grace and use the tools that are out there if and when that you need them. We're all individual. Sure. And just because you may hear horror stories about trying to get off of, you know, these benzodiazepines or these pain meds, that doesn't mean it's going to be you, right? There's always something that we can work through. So I just know that I chat with, you know, people every day about this, and I give them my honest opinion about what I think about these, you know, pharmaceuticals. But well, there's also a time and place.
Sometimes meds are tools, you know?
Yeah, yeah. There's a time and place for everything. And so give yourself grace, be your own advocate. You know what you need, right? And support your body and your mind the way that you need to, because that's a huge part of this journey. So, okay. So now I want to talk about all the amazing things that you're doing, but I'm so, so happy that you are well. That is just, I love hearing these success stories, because so many people out there don't think you can get well. And we know that that's not true, right? You had mentioned earlier, you have a couple of books. You wrote like a coaching memoir, Victory of a Lyme Story. And you are an Amazon bestseller right now with your new book, The Mountains We Climb. Congratulations. That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
And then, as I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, you truly turned your journey into this passion and this mission, and mission accomplished. About 6 years ago, you created it used to be New Hope Healing and Resource Center, and now we just kind of rebranded. So we'll throw out both those names, but New Hope Wellness out of Minnesota. And, you know, like I said earlier, we had the opportunity to chat for a while a few weeks ago. And I love all the things that you're doing there, because it's kind of like a one-stop shop. You know, it's not just, we got to go in and kill this Lyme. We got to go in and detox this. We have to deal with the emotional aspect of this. There's all the layers that we need to deal with when getting through this journey. One, in order to get fully well. And then two, I honestly believe in order to stay well. You have to touch on all the layers of this disease. So talk about what you do. I know, and it's exciting, because there's all these things that we didn't have access to when we were sick, you know, methylene blue, SOT, like I didn't even hear about even ivermectin back then. Like there's just so many new things out there. And so what are some of the new greatest, latest things that you offer at your clinic, as far as, you know, killing, supporting the body, detox?
So here at New Hope Wellness, and I'm so proud of New Hope Wellness, I tell people New Hope was born out of frustration, honestly, for what we didn't have. Yep. When I was looking for a doctor here in Minnesota treating Lyme, there really wasn't even one here that knew what they were doing. There's a couple that were dabbling, but they weren't, you know, really experts. And then I worked here with support groups with Minnesota Lyme for a really long time, establishing support groups. And so I got to know the Lyme community here in Minnesota quite well. And New Hope was really born out of frustration for talking with these people who are going to Wisconsin or California or all over the place for doctors and didn't have the resources they need. And pretty soon I kept having this reoccurring thought of like, why can't we, you know, people who have cancer have cancer centers and they can go to these cancer centers and have all the resources they need. Why can't the Lyme community have a center where they can go and have all the resources they need, mental health? And I had these friends in the Lyme community who were going to Wisconsin for their doctor and then going here for another therapy and going somewhere else, and mental health, who's even doing mental health for Lyme? Nobody was even doing it. And eventually that thought turned into, you know, we need this. And then that thought turned into, could we do this? And then that thought turned into, I'm doing this. And that's how New Hope came to be. And so here at New Hope, now we're wheels, all cylinders going, and it's just super exciting. We're doing all of these groundbreaking therapies. We have amazing providers. We have an amazing team here. We have people flying to us from other states now to do our therapies. And it's just, you know, amazing to have this resource place and this center where people can come and not just be diagnosed correctly, not see doctors who have been ILADS trained and who are very educated in Lyme and know how to treat. But we have providers that do, yes, methane blue, antibiotics, and all spectrums of prescribing. We have a doctor who's been treating Lyme for a really long time in the naturopathic world as well. So we have a naturopathic and functional medicine doctor. We have a counselor here who helps with the mental health part of it. I am here and I am a life coach and an emotional resilience coach trained through Stanford University. And we have hyperbaric chamber therapy here. We have PEMF therapy here. We have a whole lab here that we can do all sorts of things to help support the body. And our mission here is to support the body through the Lyme treatment, support the mind through the Lyme treatment, and to treat the disease in the body. And we're treating the whole aspect so that we're not just giving you a treatment, sending you out the door and hoping you come back in a couple months and you're doing okay. Like, we're following up with you. We're calling you in a couple weeks after your appointment. You have a team now. You're not fighting by yourself now. And that was my mission from day one. And that's the experience we hope everybody has when they come here.
Well, I love how the name became, right? And I love how you did it. You had a mission, a dream, and you ran with it. And congratulations, because you're right. We absolutely need that. And to have it all in one resource center. So a couple of questions. Is it a clinic where people go to like every day? Like if they... whether they're in Minnesota or they fly in, is it like a daily treatment center? Is it kind of like, can you make an appointment? We're going to get your game plan. You can come in and do this, come in and do that. How exactly is your clinic?
Yeah. So we aren't like a stay here clinic. That's okay. One thing, you get those questions where people are wondering, because there are clinics around the world where you can go and stay. We aren't that kind of clinic. So you would just come here, stay here in town and do, you know, however that, whatever your treatment plan would be. It depends on your therapy and what you're doing too. Some people are just coming to do SOT therapy, or if they're coming to establish, you know, and see the whole team, or however that works. I mean, you see the whole team whether you do SOT or not, but but we're a team. You come, you institute your team, you see the team while you're here. And so your first appointment is a bit of a longer appointment because people aren't used to that, but we set that up because we want you to see me that day. You see your main provider, whoever you're seeing that day, and you see Barb, our counselor, that day as well, because we want you to have my face in your head and we want you to have Barb's face in your head, so that just as we were having that mental health discussion earlier, if you have that low day, you call us and you're like, I need to talk to Amy. I need to talk to Barb because I'm struggling today. And you're not on a waiting list somewhere waiting to talk to somebody for 6 months who's not sure what's going on with you and doesn't really know how to help you.
I love that, because oftentimes we do just need that little pep talk or that little reassurance that, yes, we know you kind of feel crappy, right? Sometimes we feel worse before we feel better, and not having to wait or not having to be charged, you know, $200 to go back in and see your doctor for 10 minutes, you know? Mm-hmm. So that is a huge thing there. And I heard that you mentioned, well, okay, so your consultations, do people just call, make an appointments? Do you, and so you do all consultations in person?
For the providers? Is that what you're asking?
Just an initial consultultation. Yes.
Yeah, all our initial appointments have to be in person. That's just best practice for our provider. So all first time appointments have to be here in person. Yep.
Okay, perfect. And then you mentioned SOT. So you do SOT in your office?
Yeah, I love SOT. I'm so excited about SOT. We've seen such amazing things in the last few years with SOT. And, you know, I've been in the Lyme world for a long time now, and that's going to age me too, but I've been in the Lyme world for quite a long time, and I've seen a lot of treatments come and go. And I never promote a treatment. I very rarely will get out and say, oh yeah, this new treatment sounds amazing and we all need to try it. I've never ever done that actually in all the years that I've been in Lyme, but SOT therapy is so exciting. And the results we're seeing with it are pretty amazing. And I feel like when I'm telling everybody who comes into the clinic or anybody I come into contact with it, because it's still your due diligence to go check it out, do your research and see how you feel about it. But I'm telling you, as somebody who's been in Lyme world for coming up on 20 years now, that it's the most exciting thing I've seen in Lyme with the results that we're seeing. In fact, we're doing our own study on it now, and the study results that we're seeing come back are just really cool. So the cool thing about SOT is there's a lot of cool stuff about it, but we're seeing the same great results in SOT with people who've had Lyme for a long time and people who haven't had Lyme for a long time. So somebody who maybe has had Lyme for 5 years and somebody who's had Lyme for 15 years, we're still seeing really good and great results, and even 25 years. And so that's something that's very exciting. The other really neat thing about SOT is this is the only treatment that we have that we are able to target exactly the strain that you're dealing with. We can reach in and hit exactly the strain. You have Lyme, I have Lyme, the neighbor has Lyme. We don't all get the same SOT. We each get an SOT that is exact to our strain. And that is powerful. You know, an antibiotic we're giving you is just, we're hoping it hits, right? It's a general antibiotic that hits everybody. And hopefully it hits yours. An herb, it's general herb. It usually hits it. We're hoping it hits you. But SOT doesn't work that way. SOT is an eradicator. It's a gene silencer, and that is powerful. So yeah, this is a treatment I'm very, very excited about. I'm super excited to have it here at the clinic. I've been doing it here for several years now, and the results we're seeing are fantastic. So,
And I love that too, because yeah, a lot of things are just kind of a blanket, right? Let's see what we can cover with this. And if you can target specifically with SOT, and I don't know a lot about it. I do chat with some people that are doing the treatment currently. And so I don't know, Amy, I'm going to have to see if maybe your SOT practitioner is going to come on and be a guest one day and share all this stuff about it, because I do too. I'm kind of excited about this. Like I said, I don't know a lot about it, but what I do know about it, it's an exciting new tool, right? That may be the ticket for a lot of people. And so hopefully I can make that happen and I can bring an episode all about SOT. So we'll see, right?
Yeah, I think you'd be happy to come and talk about it. We're all really excited about it. And like you said, it's just a powerful tool. And when we have a tool like that, after years of having just some basic tools, right, we have some good tools. Methane Blue is a good tool. You know, Disulfiram is a decent tool. But all of those tools have their own side effects too. And any antibiotic has a gut health issue, right? And so there's always that aspect to that kind of a tool. And even herbals, they have their own side effects. And the beautiful thing about SOT is that there's no gut health issue. It's such a natural way to treat. And we're able to treat very powerfully without breaking down the body. And that is so powerful. It's exciting to have a tool like that in the box after this many years. My own son did SOT. He did nothing but SOT because he had some gut issue already. We knew he wasn't going to handle anything else. So he's a really great specimen of an experiment for us. And he treated two strains of Lyme and a strain of Bartonella, and he's doing fantastic after a year and a half of treatment. So we're thrilled with this. So.
Oh, well, good for him. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it really is exciting. You know, again, not everything works for everybody, but this sounds like more of a more targeted tool. And so, you know, like you said, it may not seem like we're coming, you know, we're creating forward steps in this journey, but we really are. And this is just one of those tools to kind of acknowledge the fact that we are coming a long ways. We are offering more things are available to us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, well, Amy, this has been wonderful. And as always, listeners, you know, in the description of this episode, I will put the links to the books we mentioned, how you can reach out to Amy, how you can reach out to New Hope Wellness if you'd like to call and chat, make a consultation, whatever it is you want to do. All the information will be in the description of this episode. Amy, congratulations. I'm so proud of you. And I just love you for taking that mission and following your dream and making it happen, because it sounds like an incredible place. So I'm super happy for you and all the Lyme people out there.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you for having me today. I love what you're doing. And I love how you're helping people here too. We all are just trying to help everybody where we're at. And I think that's beautiful. So thank you for what you're doing too.
Thank you. I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.